Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is David Obazinski. He is the president of the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain. Just what is that? Who are they? What do they do? We're going to dig into that in our conversation this morning. Dave, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Morgan.
Happy to have you on. And it was not too long ago you were on with the Holiday Store on with us.
That's right. We came on board this year with the Holiday Store. I've come by and made personal donations, but this year we got the foundation involved, and it's really been a pleasure working with Odyssey, with the station, with the Salvation Army, etc.
For those who were not listening at that point in time, when you stopped by and you went on the air on Brian and Company that morning at the Holiday Store, could you dig into a little bit about who you are and what the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain is?
Sure. The Community Foundation itself has been around since 1941, so going on 83, 84 years old now. And it started out as a small community chest formed when the Stanley family and Stanley Tools and New Britain Machine together each contributed $15,000 to create what has become the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain. And as a result of the growth over years of individuals, businesses, organizations, families, trusting us with charitable funds, starting charitable funds and scholarships with our foundation and working with us, we have been able to grow to a community foundation that now manages close to $70 million in more than 300 charitable funds that have been trusted to us. And that history has just been tremendous in working primarily in the communities of New Britain, Berlin, Plainville, and Southington as our primary service area. But we also touch on other surrounding communities with some of our programs, some of our initiatives, especially our scholarships, where we are reaching out also to communities like Farmington, Avon, Newington, Rocky Hill, etc.
And despite all of the years that this has been in existence and in progress, as you mentioned, this year you got involved with the Holiday Store through the foundation. It seems to me that there are kind of endless opportunities for partnership out there.
Absolutely. We see all kinds of collaborations and partnerships taking place. I'll just give you an example. If we look back to what happened during COVID, we were all stunned at that time in March of 2020, and I was standing on my deck outside my house as we were all home and trying to figure out what to do next. And I got a phone call from Jason Howey at OK Industries in New Britain, which is now known as Avna. And Jason said to me, he said, Dave, I know we can make the personal protective equipment that the healthcare providers, the ambulances, and people need out there right now to protect themselves. And I know we can do it. So can we pull together some funders and some volunteers and bring this community together? And my engineers at OK Industries will help to create face shields and other equipment at a very low cost. And within 3 weeks, we had produced 20,000 face shields for the local area, for the hospitals, for the funeral homes, for everybody who needed an emergency response. That's kind of one example of how the community can come together and collaborate. And we as a community foundation, because we're so connected to all parts of our community with our ear to the ground on where the needs are and where the resources are, we were able to bring everyone together and make that happen.
I'm glad that you mentioned COVID just a moment ago, and I'm talking this morning on Face Connecticut with Dave Obzinski, who is the president of the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain. You know, there was always a need for help before COVID, but COVID really exacerbated that. The demand, the need for assistance from outside for all kinds of groups and agencies and individuals, it really went sky high. And I don't know if it still remains that elevated today, if it's tapered off a little bit. Could you still talk about that demand as we live in these post-COVID days?
I think if we look back on some of the stresses that our communities faced during that period of time, one of the laggards, one of those stressors that has continued more than any other is food insecurity. And that has really showed itself not only as a circumstance people are dealing with, but then when inflation really took off, that really put some pressure on that area for those who are trying to meet those needs in the community. So we have seen since COVID that food insecurity, as well as services for people who are in situations where they themselves need some mental health services, are places where we have to really keep pushing for resources and partnerships taking place in the community. So when we talk to nonprofits about applying for a grant from our foundation or organizations that might want to do events to support something in our community, we like to push those groups in that direction or encourage them to come to us and ask for funding that can help in those areas.
I'm looking at some of the other issues that you guys work toward tackling the current needs, food insecurity being one of them. Also on the list that I'm looking at, early childhood education, capacity building for nonprofits, disasters. We've sure had plenty of those recently. Could we start talking about some of those, maybe a little bit about early childhood education?
Absolutely. We started an initiative called First Years First more than 20 years ago when my predecessor, Jim Williamson, saw that as a great need in the community, especially in certain towns like New Britain that really needed some extra attention. And so we've devoted resources to that. And as time has gone on, we have shifted the age of that program, the age of children who are impacted by that program, based on needs, based on resources coming from the state of Connecticut, based on local circumstances. And I like to think that we've been able to flex and be able to work with these school districts and these communities to help them so that they have extra resources to then use the leadership they have in their school districts to meet some of those needs. So that's one place where we're pretty proud of the impact we've been able to make in early childhood education. Additionally, you mentioned capacity building for nonprofits, And that's a relatively new initiative. It's about 4 or 5 years old. And what we saw there is nonprofits often have wonderful people working in those organizations and great board members volunteering and volunteers on the ground level, but sometimes they're weak in one particular area. They might be great in programs, but maybe they're weak in fundraising or they're weak in board development. So we stood up these workshops and classes so that nonprofits could come in and grow stronger in certain expertise so that they could then stand up their organization more strongly. And when they're able to do that, then the whole community lifts up because they're stronger and now able to care for more people in the community.
Let's talk about disasters that render a family homeless. You know, this is a little bit out of your reach in a sense that it did happen in Connecticut, but not within the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain. Okay, so just that Greater New Britain component. But we had that flooding earlier in 2024, late summer, going into the fall of 2024, that impacted Oxford and Southbury. And we hear about moments like that, and it seems that there's always a desire of people who want to help in some way. So is that kind of one aspect that you guys take care of when it happens within your community, or if there's a need even just kind of outside of Greater New Britain?
Morgan, when I saw what the Houston, Texas area was going through with a number of hurricanes that hit their area number of years ago, and I saw the response that the Houston Area Community Foundation was able to render in their area to immediately help those people affected, it inspired me to say, okay, we may not get hit by hurricanes or tornadoes like other communities might in some places, but we do have apartment fires. We do have fires in buildings where multiple families in one night are suddenly homeless. And so we created a disaster response fund in anticipation of things that could happen here. And as you pointed out, the flooding really woke some people up too about being better prepared for those kinds of circumstances to assist. So we've been lucky to work with a lot of area restaurants, fire departments, and others who have helped held fundraisers and brought more attention to the fact that we have a natural disaster response fund. And we work directly with the cities and towns community services offices so that they identify for us who the families are who are experiencing these circumstances, and then we're able to release funds to that town or city community service office who can then administer those funds to those families in need. So they are able to get something beyond maybe what the Red Cross might be able to do for them that one evening when suddenly they are homeless. And so this really helps people get back on their feet and get a better footing for going forward. So we hope to expand that fund also so that, God forbid, something terrible happens in this area, we're able to respond as best as we can.
David Obazinski is my guest this morning on Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham, and Dave is the president of the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain. You may have heard him recently on the WTIC Brian and Company morning show on the Holiday Store when we were doing that. And I guess that we're doing a little bit of a follow-up and a deeper dive into what a community foundation is and what Community Foundation of Greater New Britain specifically does. David, you mentioned Houston and how you witnessed what they did after the hurricanes that hit there a while back. I'm curious about the networking aspect that you do, okay, the outreach that you do to other community foundations, because obviously you learned a little bit something about kind of seeing their response and how they dealt with that and brought that to Connecticut at least a little bit, and you're looking to grow on that. Can you talk about your partnership with other community foundations?
Absolutely. I am pleased to serve this year and next year as the chair of the Connecticut Community Foundation CEO group, which is out of the Connecticut Council for Philanthropy. And with that, we meet with the other Community Foundation executive directors, presidents, and CEOs on a quarterly basis. And it's a wonderful collaboration that we have amongst us. There are 14 community foundations in Connecticut that serve multiple communities. There are a couple of foundations that serve one community, but there are 14 that serve multiple communities. We have four in our primary service area. Hartford Foundation for Public Giving has 29 towns. Main Street Community Foundation out of Bristol has six towns that they serve. So we all get together quarterly, and we have a wonderful collaboration where we're able to share trends, what's happening in our area, how do we deal with that, how can we maybe work together on something, share ideas, and bring in speakers from the state of Connecticut and other places that can help us kind of create strategies for what might work best in our particular community. So I can't say enough about my colleagues in Connecticut who represent their own community foundations. And I recommend to anybody in your community that if you haven't become familiar with the community foundation that serves your town, there is one that serves every one of the 169 cities and towns in Connecticut.
As we look ahead to 2025 and really embark on the new year, what are some goals that you have for your Community Foundation of Greater New Britain?
Well, one thing that we want to do at our foundation is, and you're helping us with that right now, is to become more visible, not just for us as the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain, but for all community foundations. Because, you know, there's a trend right now in communities throughout Connecticut, and it could extend farther than that, but for civic groups, cultural groups, religious groups, many of them are having trouble with membership. Many of them are having difficulty putting a scholarship committee together, and many of them have charitable funds in the bank or invested somewhere, and their dwindling memberships are making it very difficult for them to administer those scholarships, those charitable funds. I want people to know that the community foundations in their area are a resource to them, that they can transfer those funds to their local community foundation. They will then steward those funds, take care of those funds, grow those funds, and then give them out in the name of that organization forever and ever, just like that organization had done so in the past. So this is a resource that those groups can go to make sure that their legacy continues forever and ever and continues to make the wonderful charitable impact that they've been making all of these years. And we have seen just in the last 2 years at least 7, 8, 9 organizations bring their funds over to us so that we could then care for it for them. And they now know that their name will live on.
One thing that you mentioned there, dwindling memberships, and something that I ask groups like yours that come on with me is, how do we get more people involved, right? How do we get younger people more excited about these kinds of things? How do we get new people who maybe have a lot of experience in one area that could assist with something that the foundation is doing or working on? How can we just in general get more people involved in this kind of effort?
Great question, Morgan, and I have two things to offer. One is, if you have an interest in getting involved, you know, seek out an organization, and if you don't know an organization, your community foundation works with hundreds of nonprofits, and they can give you a sense of who in the area is operating, how to get in touch with them, how to volunteer. Now, we've taken that a step further. Every year on Giving Tuesday, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which is now an international day, we turn that into Giving Brews Day, celebrating the local breweries that we have in the greater New Britain area. And for the last several years, we've worked with Five Churches Brewing on Arch Street in New Britain and hosted a Giving Brews Day on Giving Tuesday, where we'll have 10 different nonprofits setting up displays. Anyone can come to the event free of charge. They get a passport when they come in. They walk around the room. They get their passport stamped after having a conversation with each of these nonprofits, and they get prizes for having their passport stamped. And then we do raffles and all kinds of fun things too. But by the end of the evening, these people who have come in, and they're often young professionals looking to get involved, have an organization they're now going to follow up with and volunteer for, or an organization they're going to now give to, or an organization they might become a board member for. And these organizations are thrilled we've given them that forum. So that's one thing a community foundation does. It creates these opportunities to get involved. And the second is a giving circle. We have what's called the Catalyst Giving Circle here. We've had it for 21 years. Individuals contribute $250 to be part of the Catalyst Giving Circle, and more than 100 families are part of it. So all of that money pooled together creates a $20,000 grant. The group learns about a topic, a need in the community at the first meeting. They hear from experts who teach them about it. They hear from nonprofits that would like to get a grant, and at the last meeting, they choose which nonprofit is going to receive that grant. So together, they pool their resources and are able to make a great impact in the community and learn something about what's happening in their community.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. It is Face Connecticut. We have a few minutes left with David Obazinski, who is the president of the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain. And one thing that you're kind of talking about here is partnering with organizations that maybe reach some younger professionals who are looking to get involved in some causes. You know, across Connecticut, and I'm sure that you're aware of this, but I don't know if you've partnered with them, there are young professional groups and clubs that meet up throughout the state. I've gone to some of these events, and they're really interesting. They get together people maybe in their 20s and 30s, which is roughly my age group. I'm 28. And they all work together toward a cause, whether it's Alzheimer's research, clean water, these kinds of things. And I've checked some of these out. Have you guys ever partnered with any of those kinds of groups?
You know, we're actually reaching out to find some of those groups. So I'd love if some of those groups wanted to reach out either to us or to their local community foundation and connect, because I think that would be a wonderful collaboration between us. Like I say, we work with hundreds of nonprofits just in our four towns, and all of the other community foundations are connected to their nonprofits. So bringing those kinds of energies and ideas together, I think, would be very beneficial to all involved.
How can people get in touch with you and the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain? Maybe they're listening now, they think that this is a match, or if some point down the line they know of somebody or something that might, again, work well with you guys and gel well with you guys, they can pass on this information.
Sure, and we like to say that we're making philanthropy accessible because our minimums to start a charitable fund with us are very low. $5,000 for a donor advised fund or a designated fund, $25,000 for a scholarship. So if anyone has any interest in talking to us about establishing a charitable fund, they can contact us at 860-229-6018. They can go to our website, which is a very simple web address at www.cfgnb.org, as in the Community Foundation of Greater New Britain. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, where people can check us out, see what's happening, and connect with us so they can get updates from us at any time.
Dave, are there any final thoughts as we get ready to close out on Face Connecticut this morning?
I'd like to thank everybody in this area for their generosity, for the way that they do support local nonprofits and organizations, especially during this holiday time and as the new year begins. And just ask everybody to remember that their local food pantries need restocking all year round. And if anybody would like to talk about service or connecting with nonprofits or how they might be able to start a charitable fund, we and the other community foundations are all available to have that discussion with you.
All right, David, I really appreciate your time this morning on Face Connecticut. And, of course, again, thank you for the recent partnership with WTIC and Odyssey and the WTIC Salvation Army Holiday Store. It was good to hear you the other morning.
Thank you, Morgan. Appreciate it.
All right. I think this about takes care of everything, David. Again, I really appreciate your time this morning, and we'll have to keep in touch.
Thank you very much.
All right. You take care.
Thank you, Morgan. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.